You're listening to the 246th edition of the Bitachon Podcast. And we are going to jump 30 chapters later in Yirmiyahu, chapter 48, verse 7. Pasuk says like this, and it's speaking to Moab, the Moabite people. So they were from Lot, from Avram Avinu's nephew. And they had established a kingdom of their own, Ammon and Moab. And they, for a long time, it was difficult to deal with them. They were a thorn in the side of the Jewish people. And Yirmiyahu is telling them that they're gonna find destruction. They were around for a long time. Many hundreds of years, if not 1,000 years. They were around for a long time. Their society was established. And it was based on, as we'll see, a particular avodah zarah, a particular idolatry. And the pasuk exhorts them, and in the exhortation of the people of Moab, we also receive a bit of direction. Pasuk says, "Kiyan bitchech b'masayach v'otzresayach." You, the people of Moab, you trusted in your actions, in your creations, in your itzaras, your treasure houses. But since you've done that, gamati lachedi, you will also be trapped. You'll be ensnared. V'yotza kemosh bagoyla, koyanov esarav yachtav. They had this idolatry, was called kemosh, and it's going to go, the idol itself is going to go into exile, alongside the priests and the princes who are involved in that society, involved in that idol worship. I think it's important to point out here, I was thinking about this recently, I was looking at the sun, I've done this a bunch of times recently, I've been inspired, and I was contemplating how it's millions of miles away, and the incredible power of the sun, the light of the sun, the nuclear explosions that are creating the light. It heats up our earth, gives life to everything that's here on earth. It's just an awesome creation of Hashem, something that we need to notice. But I was thinking about, you know, in the olden days, thousands of years ago, there were those who worshipped the sun. And of course, we don't understand it. We don't relate to it. They bow down to the sun. What does that exactly mean? What does it mean to bow down to an idolatry? It's hard for us to relate, but I was thinking that the reason that we don't relate to it is because we lack reverence. We don't appreciate the incredible power of the sun. We're not, of course, supposed to bow down to it, right? That's idolatry. But to appreciate the unbelievable manifestation of Hashem's Hashkacha Pratis for you, for me, individually, I come out and it's warm. At least here in Eretz Yisrael, it's warm. I know it's cold in New York. You come out and it's warm. There's sun. Or wherever you are, you come out and there's light. You can see. What an amazing creation the sun is. And how it provides life for everything. The heat of the sun, the light of the sun. There will be no life on planet Earth if not for the sun. Of course, there are lots of elements, but the sun is a powerful one of them. So we lack reverence for it. We don't appreciate it. We don't see it for what it really is, which is this incredible gift. So we don't understand how they would bow down to it. We can understand that that's not God. That we get. You know, we don't fall into the trap. They had so much reverence for it. They saw it as something in and of itself, instead of seeing it as a gift from Hashem. But in trying to understand idolatry, and that's what we're going to talk about here, we can see that we do the same thing. We give something power. We have reverence for money. We have reverence for our jobs. We have reverence for even people who are spiritual teachers, even people who are examples for us of goodness. We have reverence for them, and in some places that's appropriate, as long as it doesn't get stuck on that person, which is an idolatry. But ultimately, our reverence and our faith and the recognition of where the power comes from has to always come back to Hashem. And that's the issue here. That's what Bitachon is. Bitachon is about not trusting in my own creations, not trusting in my own beliefs of what's successful, not trusting in my treasure houses of money, and not trusting in any idol, any idol. The Ramban says, "V'tam oylecha Moav uvaratok am kamush." Pasuk says in Bamidbar refers to Moav and its idolatry all the way back in the times of the Torah, not just hundreds of years later with Yirmiyahu. Pasuk says, "Woe unto you, Moav! You are lost, O nation of Kamush, the nation that serves this idolatry called Kamush." And we can think about it in terms of anything that we serve and anything that we give power to. They worshipped this thing. And think about it. If there's something in your life that you see works, maybe it's your job, maybe it's a relationship. You see that I feel good there. I feel happiness there. Right? So we worship that. We get stuck on that. We think that that's the only way. If a person loses their job, their life feels like it's over. So, they serve this idol called Kamush. They built altars to it, and they trusted in it more than any other nation. When they were in trouble, so they said, "Get up and save us, take care of us." Pasuk says this consistently. It's Pasuk in Yeshaya. They are trying to get help from this idol, the thing that they put their place their trust in. And they come into the temple and it doesn't help them. Our Pasuk he brings, Pasuk says that ultimately this is what happens with the ego. The ego grabs onto something and says, "This is where my salvation comes from." And then ultimately, it doesn't really come from there. It's just not true. It comes from Hashem. So if I'm stuck on anything, in the end, it causes destruction. If I don't give credit where credit is due, it causes destruction. And that's what happens. Moab is destroyed ultimately. And their idol goes into exile alongside them. So Moab is going to be ended. And they're busy trying to get help by bringing idol, bringing sacrifices to their idol, by bringing incense offerings to their idol. L'kach yemer ha-moishlem derech lag ki kamush nosam bonav pleitim. And that's why those who ultimately will destroy Moab, or maybe destroyed, past tense, so they make fun of the fact that Kamush, their idol, left them with children who have nowhere to go. Their children have become refugees. They're running and they're being chased by the sword, Vinoisa Bashivos, Bashavis. Their daughters were captured. Kimaminam boy, Yukubano Vinoisa Kasha Yuku Imoi Amoi Khin Bas El Nechar. Whenever you have an idol that you believe in, so then you just become that thing. And then when it's destroyed, or when the person that believed in an idol is destroyed, so then the idol is destroyed along with it. Because the belief is just inside of the person. And that's gone. And I think that our society has its idols, its money, and its things that are going to guarantee happiness, a home and a car and a this and a that. And it's easy to see that it's just a world of consumerism. It's just a world of want, wanting, more and more wanting. That's just who people are. And it's a sad statement, but it's the idol of today. brings here from Rabbeinu Sadia Goyin. Kashem she'asa ba'en shvatim keinasa kachasa b'loheihem shenemar. When Hashem brings judgment upon a nation, so Hashem brings judgment upon their gods. As the pasuk says, v'chol elohei Mitzrayim yaseh shvatim. When you think about, it says in regards to Egypt, God brought judgment upon their idols. But think about, you know, the idol of Iran, let's say. America has its own idol, which we talked about, but the idol of Iran is force. I'm going to force everybody to believe in God the way I do. And what happens with that force, the nuclear force that they're trying to create and the proxies that they've created to try to force their way through, just ends up being a source of destruction. There's different judgments that happen. A person is destroyed, or a nation is destroyed, based on the type of idol that they worship. So if they worshiped stone, so then they blow up, and they're thrown in front of the stones. A person who had some kind of metal idol, an idol made out of metal. So then ultimately that person gets torn apart by metal. And in that state lies down in front of his idol. It's a general principle, as we said before, that whenever there's a downfall of a particular, the word is malchus, which means kingship, but I would call it ideology, which comes from the word idol. Whenever, or it could be from an idea, but it's I-D-E-O, not sure. Whenever there's a particular ideology that falls, so the people who believe in it fall at the same time as the concept of the ideology itself. Shigeinu Amr B'Bavel, Amr Nilkud Bavel Havish Balchet Merodach, says this about Bavel. I'm not going to translate the pasuk, but think about it in terms of Nazism, that concept basically saying it exists but not with power. Hamas, it's an idol. It's an idol of power. All these things are idols of power. And they fall, they're destroyed. The concept is destroyed. Chenu Amr B'Moav, Yatzah Kamush B'Goyle, it brings our pasuk. This is the Rabbeinu Sadia Goyin, it's elsewhere in the Torah. But it's the idea that that Kamush, the idol of Moab, falls alongside the people of Moab. It doesn't get better than this one. The example is that the Philistines had stolen the Aron Bris Hashem, which represents the relationship of Klal Yisrael to Hashem, and they had placed it in their temple, where they lived in Ashdod, which is on the coast, so their idol was the fish. And they had this huge idol, this huge statue of a fish, and the statue fell in front of the Aron Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu caused it to fall. To show that they fall, they have fallen, their ideology has fallen, it all falls together. Now think about the World Trade Center, which I'm not coming to say something positive here, but it was a symbol of the idolatry, which is why the Arabs went for it. It's kind of funny that the Muslim world has its own idol, which is the angry God, and the Christian world has its idol, or the West has its idol of finance and money being their God. But there's this fall. There's a fall of the ideology. And it falls in front of the truth, right? That's what's represented by this fall of Dagon. It falls in front of the truth. And it's like, how do we get into Bitachon? We spoke about last time. One way is, which is not the highest level, but one way is, you see that it didn't work for you. My belief in money didn't work out for me. My belief in guaranteeing my future didn't work out for me. It's time to get back to the truth. It's time to get back to Hashem being in charge of my life. Chenot sinu ba'achaz, v'shaya oyed l'chama, We find this also in regards to Achaz. It's very interesting. He was a sun worshipper. Yom shenifer mimenu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nifer af menachama. Miyutas hayem emidu al shtei shois. We find that Achaz, when Hashem paid him back, it was a day of reckoning for him. So the day itself was short. The sun was only out for 2 hours of that day. The day was shortened. So the sun itself, which was being idealized or idolized, that's the right word, the sun itself lost power that day. When Chizkiah came, was the Melech of Klal Yisrael, who had potential to be Mashiach, and he brought back the realization and recognition of Hashem himself, that all the power is Hashem's power. So when he came, Hashem gave back the missing hours. Shenemar hinini meshavis tzel ha-ma'ala, his pasuk says in Yishai Lamed Ches, pasuk Ches. Hashem is bringing back the levels of the shadows, which means to say, those hours that were missing from the day that Achaz was destroyed, they have been returned. And the idea here, conceptually, is very, really quite interesting, this last one, because what it's saying here is that as long as there's an idolatry that's blocking between me and Hashem, so that has to be smashed. If there's a belief that the sun, there's over reverence, let's say, in the sun, too much credence, too much power, too much, I would say, separate power is given to the sun. So then the sun has to be limited so that the people of the world don't give it that credence, don't give it that power. But the moment that there's a king like a Chizkiah who comes and he teaches us, this is what it really looks like. It's all Hashem. I mean, if a king can say that, and a king is the most prone, a person who has all that power, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And if a king can say, no, it's not me, if a king can be humble and say, I don't have any power, all my power is from Hashem, that's what we're waiting for, is the king, Mashiach, who's going to be like that. And he's nothing of his own, less lemi gar meklum. The moment that happens, so then the sun can shine extra hours in the day. It's okay to have reverence for the sun as a person is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sees the sun as Hashem's gift. But the moment it becomes something in and of itself, it has to be destroyed. Radak. Gam at tilachedi. Pasuk says that the people of Moab trusted in their idol. And the result was that they would also be ensnared. Kolomar gam at kemo agoyim ha'acherim. Shelem et oisars kamoicha. Other nations don't have the money storehouses that you have. But they get ensnared. They don't have all the things that you think guarantee you. You, Moab, will also become ensnared. You'll also be trapped. Pasuk says, the quietude and calmness of Moab, Amar gam at, saying, you too, ilo yo ilucha itzresecha shahayis b'tachas b'am. The storehouses, the money, the savings, all of your guarantees that you think that you have, your pension, your this, your that, Moav, it's not going to help you in the end. All the things that you trust in, gam lo yilech, kamo shalahai elohecha, this idol will also not help you, ki gamu yetze b'gayla. It'll also be lost, it will go out into exile. Okay. One more piece we'll read here. Mar Peloshin le Ramad Vali, who is a student of the Ramchal. He says like this. Someone who trusts in matters of this world, which are lowly and they're inferior. So that person is actually detaching from the highest levels of light, meaning Hashem's light, and he falls from his level. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Pergidala, Pasuk Choches, someone who trusts in his wealth will fall. Vinilkad miroidfov. and he gets ensnared by those who are chasing him. That's the meaning of our pasuk, which says that since they were trusting too much in their own creations, their own produce, that which they produced, and their treasure houses, so they will also be ensnared. What does it mean when it says that the idol will go out into exile? This was the God of the people of Moab and Ammon. We find this to be the case when Yiftach sends a message to the king of Ammon. We see a reference to this. Because the idea here is that just like Ammon and Moab had one father, right? It was Lot. So whenever we speak about an idol, an avodah zarah, so there's a mistake. The mistake is that the person or the nation believes in something which is Hashem's means of giving them what they need, right? There's a sar, there's an angel which is in charge of each nation, and Ammon and Moab had the same sar, the same angel in charge of those two nations. Again, we have this idea that Hashem, when He comes to make a reckoning, make an accounting with a nation, so He also makes a reckoning with its God. That's the angel of that nation. Because the Sar is the place in heaven, as it were, that Hashem is sending its Shefa, the power, the influx, through that spiritual being. So, as the nation falls, so that Sar is also disconnected from its root. And then they fall from their level. Zo Golis Mamish, and that's the idea of Golis, that's the idea of exile. Kshem Shenayfal Hu, Kach Nefim Kola Oivdim, Oisav Abaytchim Boy. And when the angel falls, so to all those who serve the angel fall, and all those who trust in it. As the pasuk says in the Tehillim, those who worship the idol will be like them, they'll be destroyed. That's what it means in this pasuk when it says that in the destruction of their false idol and their false bitachon, so their idol is destroyed, and they're destroyed alongside them. So, let's end on a positive note. When we trust in Hashem, of course, so then we become like Hashem. K'mayim Yoseim is true, as we've discussed previously, of idol worshippers, but it's also true on the side of good. For we worship Hashem, we become like Hashem. We become Mahu Rachum Afetarach Rachum, Mahu Chanun Afetachanun. We have the true power. The true power is the power of humility, which is Hashem's ultimate manifestation. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again next time.